Nitya Ruda Samaditva Paravritta Guna Brahma Nasasmara Tadatmana Svapne Dristam Evotita Nitya
Eternal
Aruda
Situated in
Samaditva
From trance
Paravrita
Freed from
Guna
Of the modes of material nature
Vedama
Illusion
Nasasmara
She did not remember
Tada
Then
Atmana
Her material body
Swapne
In a dream
Dristam
Seen
Eva
Just as
Uttita
One who has arisen Translation Situated in eternal trance and freed from illusion, impelled by the modes of material nature, she forgot her material body just as one forgets his different bodies in a dream. Purport. A great Vaishnava said that he who has no remembrance of his body is not bound to material existence. As long as we are conscious of our bodily existence, it is to be understood that we are living conditionally. Under the three modes of material nature. When one forgets his bodily existence, his conditional material life is over. This forgetfulness is actually possible when we engage our senses in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. In a conditional state, one engages his senses as a member of a family or as a member of a society or country. But when one forgets all such membership in material circumstances and realizes that he is an eternal servant of the Supreme Lord, that is actual forgetfulness of material existence. This forgetfulness actually occurs when one renders service unto the Lord. A devotee no longer works with the body for sense gratification, but family, society, country, humanity, and so on. He simply works for the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. That is perfect Krishna consciousness. A devotee always merges in transcendental happiness, and therefore he has no experience of material distresses. This transcendental happiness is called eternal bliss. According to the opinion of devotees, constant remembrance of the Supreme Lord is called samadhi or trance. If one is constantly in trance, there is no possibility of his being attacked or even touched by the modes of material nature. As soon as one is freed from the contamination of the three modes of material nature, he no longer has to take birth to transmigrate from one form to another in this material world. So here we're seeing described that one who can forget his body must be on the transcendental platform. Because the bodily pushings are so strong that one is so easily swept up by the pushings of the body, which are constantly demanding our attention. It doesn't mean that a person who does remember the body is necessarily not transcendental. Right? We cannot reverse this statement. Although we can take the statement where a great Vaishnava said that one who does not remember the body is transcendental. Still, one who does remember the body is not always under the modes of material nature. Because it is stated that the saintly personalities, they are utilizing the body in the service of the Lord. And just like the tortoise, they are withdrawing their senses within their shield, right? And then ignoring them. That's the word I was using on Sunday, and some people didn't like that, I heard. But there is the tortoise, see? The tortoise, he pulls his legs into the shield, and then he's supposed to not use them. So that means one pulls the senses and ignores them. And then other times, he puts out the senses and uses them in the service of Krishna. So the ignoring of the senses is obviously part of Krishna consciousness. And not only part of Krishna consciousness, part of life. Like, I give the example sometimes, when you go into like a big shopping center like the Bayekorf, then the mind may for a moment be attracted to, but then the intelligence says, watch out, you know, there are cameras, there is security and so on. Are you sure you're going to do this? Right? And of course some people are sure they're going to do this, and that's another story. But the temptation is there, and sense control is required to overcome so many tendencies. One cannot embrace everyone that in his mind he wants to embrace. Right? If that would be the case, right, things would be totally out of hand. One has to control the mind, one has to control the senses, also in material life, right? Even beyond Krishna consciousness. So ignoring the senses is not at all an uncommon fact, and that only Hare Krishnas are doing so. People are regularly being approached by devotees with a book, and they are attracted to the book, but still they don't buy it. Why? Because they stand there and they are thinking that, well, I have only so much money, and if I give this money for this book, then I cannot use that money for the other purpose that I had actually planned to use this money for. No way, I'm not going to get this book, although it looks interesting. Right? There are many cases like this. So again, when one has a certain amount of money in the pocket, and the eyes and senses are attracted to so many objects, then again, one has to control the mind, and some people cannot do that, and they just become uncontrolled buyers, you know? You have these people, they can't do it, and they just buy everything, right? Some people, they get a phone, a mobile, and they have to keep on ringing, and therefore they made cards, you know, so that such people can control themselves, because they just couldn't control themselves. Some people just can't stop eating. Right? And they go through this process of vomiting, and then eating again, and vomiting, and eating again. So these are all symptoms of how even in material life, people have problems in controlling the senses, and are meant to control the senses. So sense control, or ignoring the senses, is part of life, and certainly part of spiritual life. That is a fact. That ultimately, one must engage the senses in the service of the Lord, and that one cannot simply ignore the senses, is point B. And point C is that when one is doing that, then one will get, sooner or later, a higher taste. However, it is not that in Krishna consciousness we must wait for the higher taste to come. And until that time, we say, well, what can I do? You know, I cannot control my senses. The higher taste didn't come. So, you know, but when it comes, oh, when that day will come, that my higher taste will arrive, then I will surrender. No, this is not our philosophy. Our philosophy is first surrender, and then higher taste may come or may not come, and still surrender after that, when it doesn't come, and then in due course it will come, without a doubt. And then it will be possible to surrender more completely, and so on. But it begins with that surrender. Therefore, tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam. Therefore, there is austerity in spiritual life. I've given that analogy of the desert, people that were born in an oasis in the desert, and that were offered to go to the green land, right, which where everything was beautiful, and flowers and fruits, etc. But in order to go there, from the oasis to that green land, they had to first go to the desert. So this is our problem also, is that we have to give up material life, and we do not yet get spiritual ecstasy. This is the difficulty. Right? You join, and then people joined, and Prabhupada told them, four regulative principles. That was swallowing. And no more smoking of dope, and no more LSD, right? And Prabhupada had in the beginning all kinds of people in the storefront, and the first person he asked to leave was Donald, who was still, not Duck, but just Donald, who was still smoking dope, and who wouldn't stop smoking dope. And Prabhupada could see this person will contaminate everyone else, he should not live in the temple. You know, he was openly smoking dope, and you know, it was just going on. I said, this can't be. This will not. So I'm not. But sometimes, when one may speak about the sense control, someone may take it wrong and may think that that we are referring to a process of repression, right? A process of self-chastisement, a process of denial, and that we are painting a picture of Krishna consciousness like medieval monks in hair shirts who were beating themselves with the cords of their gowns and all that. That's not our philosophy and our aim. What to do? There are different aspects to the philosophy, and they are explained at different times. Like I was explaining the verse, Kamadinam Purita Durnidesas Tesam Jatamayi Nakaruna Natapatraya, which is a verse from Rupa Goswami where he explains that the senses are very ungrateful masters, and that to serve the senses will never be merciful, and that therefore one should stop serving these senses. Yeah. So again, that he therefore makes this point about simply ignoring. And then Srila Prabhupada also gives an explanation that sense control, he compares it to taming a tiger, and he says you just catch the tiger, put it in the cage, make the tiger fast, right, and fast and fast, and then the trainer goes in and beats up the tiger, and tiger is all upset, he's beaten, he's hungry, he's weak, right, and then the trainer goes out again, and more fasting and more fasting. And then finally the trainer comes in, and the tiger is already afraid and goes into the corner. At that point, the trainer arranges something to eat for the tiger, and it is said the tiger then just surrenders. He's found his master. Yeah. So Prabhupada explains that this is how you tame a tiger. And with that explanation, he explains how to control the mind and the senses. Yeah. So therefore, I mean, I just wanted to kind of clarify that I'm not just talking from the mind of K.K. Swami, you know. That is a misunderstanding and should not be propagated. That's not right. Anyway, there is no doubt that to engage the senses in the service of the Lord is finally what this movement is all about, and that this is our business. So one must become active in Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, which is the Bhagavad Vidhi, and then there is also there are additional activities known as Pancharatriki, which includes Pada Sevanam, it includes Vandanam, it includes Sakyam, Dasyam, Atmanivedanam, or it includes service to the lotus feet of the Lord. It includes making friends with the Lord. It includes prayers to the Lord. It includes deity worship. It includes, finally, one can develop a mood of friendship, a mood of servitorship, or one can fully surrender mind, body, and soul to the Lord. These are all parts of devotional service. So one must always be engaged in devotional service. But this is, for the conditioned soul, very difficult. It is said, Savai Pumsa Paru Dharmo Yato Bhakti Radokshaje Aitiki Apratiyata Yatma Supersedati, that the goal of spiritual life is to come to pure devotional service. And this is Param Dharma, or Paro Dharmo. This is the ultimate religious principle. But then one must come to the stage of uninterrupted, unmotivated devotional service, which is very difficult to realize for one who has anarthas within the heart, because these anarthas will govern us. So how to do that? Therefore one must purify himself from the contamination, and various verses are dealing with that. Srinivata Svakata Krishna Punya Sravana Kirtana Ridhyanta Stoya Badrani Vidunati Suritsatam. That by hearing about Krishna, one can become purified, right, from all contamination in the heart. So someone might stand up and say, bogus what he's saying there. That's not true. The Yuga Dharma is chanting. Again, you know, this is not the right understanding. One must know that hearing will also purify the heart. Not without chanting, but hearing nonetheless is essential and comes before chanting. Therefore, sometimes one may hear apparent contradictory statements, right, from the mouth of the Vaishnava. But one should not jump to conclusions. One should rather inquire for clarification. And if one doesn't do so, then that's not beneficial for spiritual advancement. And one, so therefore, I'm responding because I just wanted to make it clear that he who speaks is not speaking against a person, but is speaking against parampara, is speaking against the system of parampara, and is therefore contaminating his consciousness, and those who hear and don't object are also becoming contaminated. So for that reason, I want to point out this sutra is not wise, and I will also make that clear to whoever was in a confused state. What to do? Krishna consciousness is multifaceted. There are many aspects to it, and sometimes there is one point, and sometimes there is an opposite point, and one must have patience to see everything in context. That's why there are always points of contention brought out by some scholars who are just studying and then found some contradictions and say, question, and so on, for a few questions. And in this way, there are always people who are studying the scriptures and are looking for clarifying various points of philosophy. Devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead takes us beyond the body. And Devahuti came to the point where she was not even interested in the body anymore. She was not even remembering the body anymore. She was so deeply thinking about Krishna that she forgot whatever her body wanted. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is the example of the arrow maker. And the arrow maker was trying to make a straight arrow. And that day, the emperor came to the city and there was a whole parade, but the arrow maker didn't hear anything. And when people were talking about it, the emperor, did you see the parade? He said, parade? Parade? What parade? No parade. Yeah, it was a whole parade. It came right through the street. You didn't hear it? So much noise. No, there was no parade. So absorbed in making his arrow. So he's given as the example of how one can be so absorbed in Krishna that one can forget the material energy in the entire material world. This is how a devotee can sometimes enter into a state of samadhi, right, and become closed off of the material world. There are cases of devotees who have entered into a samadhi, into a trance-like state, and who stopped to communicate with the outer world, who were only meditating on the Supreme Lord, and who lived on prana, who were not depending on any food or anything like that. Yes. So that type of samadhi is sometimes attained by a transcendentalist, and sometimes it is thought that this is the definition of samadhi. However, Srila Prabhupada gave us a more extended definition of samadhi, which included active samadhi, not an inactive samadhi, but which included a samadhi where one was totally sensually aware, totally active in the world, and totally conscious, but always meditating on Krishna. So totally conscious of the body, totally using the body, totally conscious of the environment, being active in that environment. And in this way, Prabhupada became Jet H. Parivrajika Acharya. And yet, he was totally absorbed in remembering Krishna all the time. And that is what I began to speak on, how a great personality can be therefore also very active in the world. And Srila Prabhupada often quoted his spiritual master, who was quoted to speak about Nirjana Bhajan, and who was saying that what kind of Vaishnava are you? Tumi kisira Vaishnava. You're practicing your solitary bhajan, your solitary worship of the Supreme Lord, but you're actually only cheating because you're only doing it for your profit, distinction, and adoration. So one must be very, very pure before one can actually withdraw himself from the world and become really absorbed in the Lord. So one should not artificially try and imitate such a state of consciousness. It must naturally evolve and must always be blessed by senior Vaishnavas. This is ultimately how we check our spiritual practices, by taking blessings of senior Vaishnavas for whatever our course of action is. We are reciting the 10 offenses against the holy name, and the third offense against the holy name is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. But that is the lower aspect of the matter. That is like to protect us from committing actually offense. But if one wants to become really advanced, it is not that one is just saying, well, am I still within the order of my spiritual master? Okay, then I can do what I like. No, one is always looking for the blessings of the spiritual master and blessings of the senior Vaishnavas. And such blessings are obviously obtained when the spiritual master is really pleased. So one must seek for the blessings and act in such a way that one is attaining these blessings. And one must meditate on the blessings and regularly consult with the Vaishnavas. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami begins, Vande Gurun Isa Bhaktan. And he begins to explain in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vande Gurun. First, he is worshipping his spiritual masters. So he's accepting many, not one. And he's trying to take the blessings of all. Right? Of course, he has his own spiritual master, whose order stands above his Diksha Guru. But then beyond, he has so many instructing spiritual masters who are also meant to bless one's intentions and one's service. And if one walks this blessed path, this path that is blessed by the Vaishnavas, then one comes on a very refined level of being before Krishna. Like, sometimes we may see how the deity is smiling so benevolently upon us. But we don't feel worthy. We don't feel that we are... Krishna is smiling. Oh, is Krishna pleased with me? But we are not pleased with ourselves. We are not pleased with our own performance. We are not taking it that we are performing pure devotional service. Right? We are considering that so many things I have to improve. If I look at what I've done so far in devotional service, there's so much to improve. so much I have to improve. So much more I have to surrender. So much more I have to become a Vaishnava. Now I have to leave all these years behind. Whatever I have done so far was not right. And now I have to take up a whole new way of life. And I have to gradually become Vaishnava. It is such a culture, such an art, and we can appreciate, therefore, that we're falling short. And we feel like that before our Lord. So how can we ever feel, yes, Krishna is pleased with me? Think, no, Krishna is pleased within himself. That's why he's smiling. He can't be pleased with me, because, you know, what have I done that he's pleased with me? No, Krishna must be smiling, because he's Atmaram. He's pleased within himself. Oh. So, one makes the endeavor. But still, I hope I can do something to please Krishna. That is the next thought. Because the desire to please Krishna is very great. And therefore, I will try and do what I can to please Krishna. And I will try to become a better Vaishnava. And I will try to do more to please Krishna and so on. So, in this mood, one can make advancement. And taking blessings of the senior Vaishnavas means that, yes, they must be agreeable. They must like it, what we're doing. And if they don't, they will say, and then we have to swallow. Yeah? That is not so easy. Not so easy at all. It's more convenient to don't get too close, to not get too close to the senior Vaishnava who could possibly withhold his blessings, and then we're stuck. Therefore, I've sometimes given the example how many people prefer the picture incarnation of the spiritual master than the real life form, right? The picture incarnation is very nice, smiles always, but the real life spiritual master is a person, and then you have to surrender to a person, and he has his likes and dislikes and his desires and his nature, and he's not at all always equipoised. See, the picture incarnation, every sloka of the Bhagavad Gita fits, no problem. Right? Every sloka of the Bhagavad Gita is a perfect fit. But the real life manifestation of the spiritual master may sometimes do things where we think like, well, you know, I mean, whew, you know, what's this transcendental? But we must accept that whatever the spiritual master is doing, he's transcendental. That is our position. Saksadaridvena samastasastiruktastata bhavyate ivasadbi. As good as God, no less. That's what my spiritual master told me. As good as God and no less. I swallowed. It's like, there was a bit of a silence after that. Right. But we have to make the scriptures the basis of our interaction. If we don't make the scriptures the basis of our interaction, then we will simply be on the mental platform. And yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatira kinchana sarvir gunais tata samasati sara harava bhaktasyo kuto mahat guna manoratena sati davato mahi. Initially, we may develop many good qualities, apparently. But if we are not basing our life on the scriptures and on receiving the blessings of the spiritual master and the senior Vaishnavas, then we are driving in the manorat, in the chariot of the mind. And sooner or later, that chariot of the mind will take us astray. So it is stated in Bhagavatam. In spite of the fact that one may have so many good qualities, and may have developed so many good qualities, but one who is actually following the authorized process, he will develop all good qualities, even if he doesn't have any, he will develop, surely. So this is the process. The blessings of the Vaishnavas are very, very powerful, right? It is actually the case that Krishna consciousness is not just a process to plug in. It's not just that it's a database and you just search it, right, for the answers. This Krishna consciousness is not a big folio program where you just, you know, type in your own questions and you get plop, your answers are coming up, and all right, I'm doing good. And that the spiritual master or any spiritual authority is some sort of extension of a folio program. Right? Do you know the answer to this question? Do you know the answer to that question? And that he's a sort of question and answer machine. But no, rather, the concept of blessings, the concept of looking for blessings of senior Vaishnavas is what attracts the blessings of Krishna. Right? And that is very powerful. And without such blessings, the process of devotional service doesn't bear fruit, right, actually. Partially, to some extent, one advances, but then one becomes stagnated. And one becomes stagnated before the higher tastes. Then one remains within the realm of having to suppress the senses, right? Because higher taste can only come after the blessings have been achieved of the senior Vaishnavas. Because higher taste really is beyond, or is a stage where anartha nivritti has really set in, where the process of being purified from the anarthas, the annihilation of the anarthas, has truly progressed. Right? So after anartha nivritti comes nistha. And nistha is the stage where one, with great determination, can go on. So then one begins to become inspired in Krishna consciousness. And from that, nistha ruchi will develop, right? Which is like a real taste for spiritual life. So therefore, one must go to a very advanced stage to Krishna consciousness to experience truly and fully a higher taste as one's main meditation. It's not that there is no higher taste. There is higher taste from the first day, from the day that we put a pakora in our mouths and are realizing this is something else. There was recently a program in South Africa on TV with one. It's a very black African program. It's right there in the big smoke in the city. And so it's very fast. But the guest is tasting prasadam and says, "This is food for the gods." Right? He got it. Right? He understood. So definitely there was higher taste. No doubt. Higher taste is there. So higher taste is there all throughout. The first time I saw Radha Gopinath, my hair stood on end and tears came to my eyes. Never happened again. But there was definitely some taste with Govindam and everything, right? But it doesn't mean that that was enough. There was not enough higher taste to pull me out of sinful life. Right. That was very difficult. Very difficult. Big struggle. Big struggle. And with a few slips here and there and so on. But by the mercy of the senior Vaishnavas, right, in getting their blessings somehow or other, things are progressing in spiritual life. And that is the process. So it's not just a matter of taking up devotional service. I'm taking up devotional service. And now all the results will come. No. It's not impersonal, that there's an impersonal process called devotional service and that one just plugs in and that one bypasses all the Vaishnavas. There's no such way. One can never bypass the Vaishnavas. If one wants to reach the higher realms of bhakti, one must look for the blessings of the Vaishnavas. And even if there is an unspoken indication, right, that the senior Vaishnavas don't like, what would you refrain? Right? That's how subtle it is. Chaitanya Charitamrita points out that between Govinda, the servant of Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya, there was unspoken communication. And he said, this is first class. This is first class. Right? He already understood the desire of the Lord before the Lord even said. And that one cannot imitate, but the point is that it is so refined. And that one must be so much concerned with the blessings of the senior Vaishnava. So how deep is this point? And how difficult is it? I know. I also have to do. And sometimes, you know, you really don't want. You know, sometimes me, I'm in this, my mind is in this mood, you know. I don't want to surrender to this. Not this, you know. No. What to do? There's always something that is just not so likable. No? So it's not that we are alone. You know, this is the funny thing. Everyone in the world, I make this point sometimes, where if you see someone in a cartoon fashion with balloons above their head, you know, with text inside, and then you have different kinds of balloons. You have the bubble balloons. That means thought, right? Little bubbles come out of the head, and then there's the balloon. So now he's thinking, and if it's just an arrow, then he's talking, right? Okay, we know the strip book language, comic book language. Okay, so there's so there's bubbles, and you know, two people sit next to each other, hiding their thoughts from each other, but they are all the same, right? Everyone has this resistance. Some may masquerade it nicely, some may hide it all behind a very devotional facade. But, you know, it's not good enough, because otherwise we would be rolling on the ground with Krishna Prem, right? So it's obvious that it's there, this resistance to surrender to the senior Vaishnavas and take their blessings. But this is the process. And if the movement works like that, the Sangata movement of Lord Chaitanya works like that, then it gets more and more refined. As it goes up in the Sampradaya, as it goes up in Parampara, it becomes more and more refined. And every Vaishnav depends on another Vaishnav. Happily. You know, happily. And by happily depending on another Vaishnava, one ultimately comes through Parampara by depending on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in all refinement, because this is a very refined process, and Krishna consciousness is a razor's edge, ksurasya dara, right? It is a very, very fine line. It's not so, it's not just, well, you know, I have read in chapter 3 of this and this canto, this verse, that, and therefore, you know, if you don't prove to me that it's wrong, that my understanding is wrong, then I will not accept, you know. This is again, I saw once how Satsarup Maharaj presented himself and had presented on a particular philosophical point, presented half a dozen verses, and said, from these half a dozen verses, I get the impression on this philosophical point that the Siddhanta is this and this. But, you know, I'm submitting that before the Vaishnavas for their insight in the matter. Right? Not thinking just because I have six verses, this is it. You know, I know. I have proof, hard proof, six times, you know. That's serious evidence, right? And then someone else has some other verses, and you know, a ping-pong game from about what is the understanding. No, the system is submission before the assembled Vaishnavas. And that was the mood Maharaj displayed in there. And from that you can see, wow, you know, when you were reading, then you think, yes, now I'm understanding that one of the saints of our movement is speaking, right? Here's a saint speaking. Let's be quiet for a moment now. Because a saint is speaking. Yes. And this is so nice that there are saints in this movement. And it's just nice to listen to the saints. So, after such a line, what more can I say? So stop. Are there any questions, any comments?
You were speaking about surrender and then taste.
And then taste.
So I have two statements before I ask my question. That Lord Chaitanya came because he saw that Kali Yuga people don't want to surrender. That's one thing. And the other thing is that I read about Lord Nityananda and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that they first give taste, then somebody surrender. So this is also because of the difference, what you were saying, so do you have
to... Yeah. On the last statement, the taste they give is that kind of taste I referred to about taking the first pakora and appreciating that it's food for the gods, or taking your first darshan and being really moved. But then, although you get that taste, it's not enough to take away your taste at the same time for illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, and all these things. See? So we do get taste, and that taste is enough to bring us in the association of the devotees. But we do not get enough taste, just like that, to make us lose the taste for all these illicit activities that we're addicted to. And that's the difficulty. For that, to give that up, we need strong association of Vaishnavas, a lot of ongoing support and inspiration and a whole atmosphere and a very strong spiritual process, chanting Hare Krishna and so on. So, ultimately, we get a little taste, which brings us in the association of devotees. By the association of devotees, our taste begins to change, and by taking up a process of devotional service, chanting Hare Krishna particularly, we can become purified from the anarthas. And only when we're purified from the anarthas can the real taste emerge. And in the process of refining the quality of our chanting, we need the blessings of the Vaishnavas.
I particularly read about getting taste from them for chanting.
Yeah, no, one may get taste for chanting also, see? But that is not pure chanting. That means conditioned chanting. That is only in the clearing stage. There is chanting in the offensive stage, chanting in the clearing stage, and chanting in the pure stage. So in the offensive stage, one's chanting is not even recognizing Krishna as necessarily as the Supreme Lord. One is not respectful and so on. But in the clearing stage, one has become respectful to Krishna, to the devotees, to the scriptures and so on. And one is looking interested in purification. But in the clearing stage, still one may have some taste, but one also has still taste for material things. And we see that. Otherwise, why there are so many devotees that fell down from the four regulative principles? Right? Very, very many. So the material taste is very, very much present, but gradually will diminish and will be conquered and purified as the anarthas disappear from the heart, and then one can become more situated in a higher taste. And when one comes to the stage of ruchi, then one is really deeply situated in higher taste and fully operating on higher taste. That in Kali Yuga no one will surrender. Yes, okay, that the people of Kali Yuga were still not surrendering, although the knowledge of the of although Krishna had come and Krishna had revealed transcendental knowledge, and as Govinda he had spoken the Bhagavad Gita, but and there's the famous verse Sarva Dharman Parichayamami Kam Saranam Vraja Aham Tam Sarva Papibhyo Moksha Isyami Ma Suchaha. Krishna said, just surrender unto me and I will deliver you from all the reactions of your sinful activities. In other words, don't worry, the reactions of your sinful activities are now bringing out all your suffering and all your material desires. So I will deliver you from all of that. Don't worry. He says even don't worry. Still we don't surrender. Therefore, he came, it is said, to give the example. Yeah. So he's teaching by example. And along with him came all his associates, Krishna Varanam, Tvisa Krishnam, Sangha Prangasta Parsadam. His prasad, yeah, the Krishna prasad came along with him. His associates came along with him. And altogether, they were taking up this mission of being Bhakta Rupa, right? Or Bhakta Swarupa, or Bhakta Avatar, or Bhakta Shakti. Or Bhakta, right? And they took up all these roles in the Panchatattva to teach the world by example. And they created an ecstatic Sangha, right? Which was just the Lord and his incarnations and a few extraordinary associates. And they created such a Sangha, and that Sangha just became infectious. And it purified conditioned souls. And these conditioned souls became liberated souls. And they became Sangha. And they made many devotees. And then, somehow or other, even although generations died, that transcendental spark of inspiration never left. And it carried forward into many generations ahead. And then it manifested in Srila Prabhupada, and then it suddenly came to the West. And to everyone's surprise, there were devotees in every town and village in the West. And Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are laughing. And what's next? The whole world will chant and dance in ecstasy. Then you have, if there are senior Vaishnavas who are not behaving according to the Vaishnav standard, then one must approach other senior Vaishnavas. That is the injunction in this regard. But one must keep on taking shelter of senior Vaishnavas. One must not independently act. Then one must take shelter of other senior Vaishnavas. There are many. No? It's like, there are certain, even, yes, sometimes we may see that some senior Vaishnava may not act according to Vaishnava principles. Seniority doesn't always mean that a person is acting 100% correct. But then again, sometimes we may be mistaken also. That's why we need senior Vaishnavas to advise us how to deal with such a situation. Any other question?
In the same mind, how do you deal with, like, a personal experience also with that? Different senior Vaishnavas got perhaps all the respect to the voice, but still they have the different opinions. Uh-huh. It's maybe very different how to deal with that.
Okay. Ultimately, when there are certain issues which are clearly commonly accepted, yeah, there are four regulative principles and not three and a half and not three and a quarter. There are four, right, and so on. So there are plenty of points in the philosophy which are commonly accepted. The deity is Krishna himself, right? And must be treated as such. I don't think there's any opinions about that. You know, all the senior devotees will be very conscious of it, will take it very serious, and will always try and treat, and you see they really treat the deity as the Supreme Lord. Right? Things like that are commonly understood. Then there are other things that may, where people may have opinions of how to apply the philosophy. Right? So opinions oftentimes come in applied philosophy. Sometimes there's a difference of opinion on a philosophical point, but that's not so much. It's more on how to apply the philosophy. Yeah. Well, Krishna is giving you a flower. You better take it. Potato or not. Anyway, so if there is a lot of confusion and one hears different opinions of different Vaishnavas, then the directions of one's spiritual master are final.
Sometimes I should really try to make my points, because
Yeah, we have a right to make our points to senior Vaishnavas also, as long as it's done in maintain some level of respect, realistic level of respect, and ultimately, if it comes to the point that senior Vaishnava doesn't want to bend, then we have to back down. Yeah. And if you think he's really, really wrong and that it's going to have disastrous results, then we can take it up on with other senior Vaishnavas and just call them up, email them, you know, fly there. Like that, you know. If you think that some senior Vaishnava is making a mistake which will seriously damage the interest of Krishna consciousness, then you can take it up with other senior Vaishnavas. That's all right. Madhu. Well, I mean, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think that we should just... Bali Maharaj was in a difficult position because he did not find himself in the association of devotees. He was in the association of demons. He was not in a society. He was in a, for Krishna consciousness, a mat, like we discussed the last few days. He was just the king of the demons who happened to be a devotee. And then his spiritual master turned out to be a materialist and advised him to act against the will of Vishnu. So he rejected his spiritual master right there and then, and just anyway acted for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu. But normally, in our condition, we are situated in association of devotees, and we are situated in a society of devotees, which is an organized society. The society also has many standards which are carried forward in parampara. Right, Srila Prabhupada's parampara doesn't just come in his books, but it also comes in the temples. Like at one point, he started organizing L.A. temple, and then he invited all the temple presidents of the world to come to L.A. and to learn how a temple should go. And therefore, when we are playing the Govindam tape in the morning, then we're doing that because Srila Prabhupada has instituted that, and that's still Srila Prabhupada's presence coming through this tape because he wanted it. Right? And like that, so many other things that he wanted that are preserved within ISKCON. So, therefore, we are in a different situation in Bali Maharaj. And therefore, we should not on our own just reject a guru who is not proper or who is not... we may do so, or a teacher or an instructor or a senior Vaishnava, but we should also take shelter of and guidance of other senior Vaishnavas. We should take blessings. Yeah, but, you know, that his grandfather wasn't there. That, you know, we don't find a description. And then Bali went to his grandfather and asked him, you know, what should I do? Obviously, his grandfather wasn't there at the time. Otherwise, it would have been easy for Bali Maharaj, right? He could have just said, look, I've just rejected my spiritual master. Oh, grandfather, what should I do now? But we don't find that part in the chapter, isn't it? No, definitely. We've been in situations where we've had to reject our spiritual master. Because, I mean, you know, at least two of us in this room, right, had a spiritual master who fell down and who left and we took again initiation from another spiritual master in due course of time, not just in a day. But we had to make that decision. And that was a personal decision. Now no more. And there were others who were still following. Right? When we said, now no more, there were other disciples who said, well, but, you know. Yeah. And we said, sorry. You go on, but not us. It's gone too far now. Now he's no longer on the platform representing the parampara. He's deviated now. And therefore... Puna Musika Bhav, a mouse again. So sometimes that such difficult decisions come. But we pray that may never happen in our life. It's not very nice when you have to come to that. It's a big thing. It's not a small thing. If you have to do that, then afterwards also it takes a long time to readjust. You know, it's a big thing. To stand up against the senior, and it's not a light thing. It's not something like, well, you know, I just rejected my spiritual master, and anyway, but I'm following Prabhupada, you know, it's and I'm just going on. It's not so quick. Or I just this senior Vaishnava is off the wall, and you know what can I do? Life goes on. Well, you know, you better. Double check and double check. Anyway, this is a whole topic which is a little off the main point. So, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.